Hafaday, and welcome to today's edition of Hearts of Harvest.
That aching, driving hunger for things will never be satisfied by things.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the pastor of Harvest Baptist Church, and our speaker for Heart of Harvest, a daily program brought to you by Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. Our prayer is that as you listen to these lessons, you will understand the heart of harvest, and that these lessons from the Word of God will help you to develop a heart for God. Pastor shares with us today lessons from the life of Solomon in a message he calls Words from a Wealthy Man.
Who was the wealthiest guy in the Bible? What would he have to say? And of course, who is that? Jedediah was actually the name that a guy named Nathan gave to him because he was called Beloved of the Lord. But the name Solomon was given to him. And it's interesting, you know, when I got looking at the Bible, just a big overview, that's what I want to do with you today and draw some principles and look at his life, because he really was the wealthiest man literally that ever lived according to the Bible. It's hard for us to fathom that. But I do think these words that carry great weight, words from a very wealthy man, help us to understand that God himself is using his words in Scripture for us today. Let me take just a minute and break it in these three parts. The first one is Solomon's biography, and I think it'd be good to take a look at that. Then Solomon's journal, and then we'll look at Solomon's advice. First of all, you look at Solomon's biography, and there's so many things to be said. I'm just condensing and summarizing. You could end up also putting Song of Solomon, because if you look at Solomon's life, you would realize that you could put it into these three brackets. The Song of Solomon, the book that he wrote in the early years of his kingship. And then you could look at Proverbs. We're going to look at that. And that's the area of his middle years of his life. And then the area of ultimately the end of his life and his final words. And that would be out of the book of Ecclesiastes. Someone wisely noted that when you look at Solomon, he was driven by his passions. And then in the middle years of his life, by his wisdom, he wrote about principles. And ultimately, the end of his life in Ecclesiastes, he wrote about problems and his perspective on life. So if you think of Solomon, you could think in those three areas. That's his biography, and we just skimmed over it. But let me jump to his journal. Let me jump to the end. Well, here's what his journal was. It was Ecclesiastes, and you might be familiar with this, but Ecclesiastes 2:10, this is what he said in his own words. He said, listen, I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for all of my heart rejoiced in all my labor. All this was my portion of all of my labor. And yet he did in Ecclesiastes look back on his life and say, this is how I saw it all. You'd think he would be celebrating his whole life, and the reality is eventually Solomon became cynical. And it shows up, these expressions, if you're taking notes, jot these down, because you'll find the conclusions of being a cynic was he said, listen, nothing is changing. He says, nothing is new, Ecclesiastes 1:8. There's no new thing under the sun. There's nothing new. And on top of that, he said, nothing can be understood. Ecclesiastes 1:12-18. I perceive that this also is vexation of spirit. But later, at the end of that book, Ecclesiastes 12, it's almost like he comes full circle. This is how he says in verse 13 and 14. Now, and this is out of the ER. Maybe this will help by saying it this way. He says, now, what should we learn from everything that is written in this book? The most important thing a person can do is respect God and obey his commands, because he knows about everything people do, even the secret things. And that's what I'd like to look at, this last point, which is Solomon's advice, because this was at the day, not at the beginning and not at the end, but in the middle, in which he was dealing with Bible principles that God knew I'm putting in here because all of us could use it today. And this is the best statement of stewardship of finances. And I hope it'll be of help to you to realize very simply, out of the 3,000 Proverbs, God, by his own inspiration, selected 513, put it in the book of Proverbs. All of these are not Solomon's, but over 500 of them are. Let me give some of them to you and very simply break it down. As I looked at it, I found that generalizing it, there were three ways that he was saying you need to use your possessions. Can I give them to you? I think they'll be able to help to you, because this is what's documented in Scripture. Number one, very simply, here's what you need to do, because out of all the topics of family and business and friendships and character areas of diligence and honesty and all of this, he says, here's what you need to know. First of all, he says, you need to dedicate, talking about finances and your stewardship, he says, dedicate them to God by giving to him first. And every Jew reading this knew and understood this to be so simply true. He summed it in Proverbs 3, 9 and 10, when he very simply makes the statement, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruit of all your increase. Why did he say that? That your barns would be filled with plenty and your presses shall burst out with new wine. And the principle that he laid out very simply, number two, he also says beyond the fact of dedicating them to God, he also makes a simple statement, conserve them wisely. He realizes that we are in a place that we've got to conserve them wisely. Proverbs 12, 27, the slothful man roasts not that which he took in hunting. In other words, a guy goes out hunting, he gathers all these, he ends up killing five deer, and he says, you know, I only need one, but I've just wasted the four. And Proverbs is saying, listen, that's a waste. He finishes Proverbs 12, 27, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. He guards it. He uses it for the future. Proverbs 21, 20, there is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise. But a foolish man spends it up. He doesn't have any foresight for the future. You know what he's very simply saying? There is a place for our monies that we need to end up using it wisely. Conserve it wisely. In other words, have a savings account. It's not a hoarding account, it's a savings account. To be able to plan ahead and do all you can. You know, pay your taxes. Romans 13, you have responsibilities. Pay your taxes. Tammy and I bumped into a guy years ago that took a position, well, my government, you know, is doing things that I don't agree with and against the Bible, so I'm not going to pay my taxes. And he sounded really spiritual. Really spiritual until he got audited and then he spent some time in jail, rightfully so, because you got to pay your taxes. Paul even said, pay your taxes. Does that mean you can agree with everything about our government, everything they end up doing, including as we were talking about abortions? Absolutely not. Totally opposed to that. But boy, you need to pay your taxes. And so you know what Solomon's saying? Hey, conserve them wisely. I like what John Wesley said. And John Wesley, many of you recognize that name by the Wesleyan movement. You recognize him by virtue of the guy that was on the, you know, traveled a whole lot and preached a whole lot and wrote a whole lot. But out of those writings, actually, he was a pretty wealthy guy. He made a lot of royalties off his books. And he was asked about the area of finances. And I think he had a simple wisdom when he made the statement when asked about money and how he looked at it all. He said, quote, gain all you can, save all you can, give all you can. I think it's good words, simple words. You know what he's saying? Hey, you can gain all you can and you need to plan ahead for the future. But on top of all that, save all you can, no problem. But also give all you can. You see, what Solomon is saying is be in a place, dedicate them to God, conserve them wisely, put yourself in a place that you are ready for eternity. You're living for another world. Yeah, you should end up putting monies into the hands of people. There's a tremendous book called Treasure Principle by Randy Alcorn. I think we carry it in the bookstore. Probably the best concise view of monies and how the Bible looks at it than any other book that I know. I'd recommend highly you getting it. And among other statements that he has made, he made this statement, God prospers me not to raise the standard of living, but the standard of giving. He's challenging people by saying, listen, God's giving to you and giving generously to those in need. Because you begin realizing, even as Solomon very simply is saying, hey, I'm dedicating to God, I'm conserving them wisely, and along with all of that, I'm giving generously to those in need. And Randy Alcorn, who was challenging people that had monies to say, listen, okay, I'm raising all this money. I want to get an inheritance, and I want to give this on to my family. He was challenging some to say, listen, God might raise your standard of living, not just so this is easier for you, so you can raise the standard of giving. All of us are challenged by this. You say, well, if I had a lot of money, I'd give a lot. You know what? Start with where you are. If you really are in a place to say, God, I'm giving it to you. I'm trying to conserve what I can for future as well and being wise about that, then help me also to give generously to those in need. Proverbs 11, 24 and 5, the liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that waters will be watered also. He says it in Proverbs 19, 17, he that has pity upon the poor lends unto the Lord. And that Old Testament principle became a New Testament truth very simply. Philippians 4, 15, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you. Paul said, hey, listen, you gave to our needs so that we could be able to give others also. That's the same idea that we mentioned in 1 Timothy very simply, chapter 6, verse 6. But godliness with contentment, this is great gain. I would challenge you and be in a place to realize that, listen, even ultimately, we are in a place to realize, God, you have been so good to us. All of us probably have more than we deserve. But be in a place to say, God, is there people out there that have greater needs? As we look at the next year and the next decade and challenge about what more can we do as a church involving with those that don't have as much, the orphans, the widows, the homeless. And you know, it's a constant challenge to be able to know how much do we end up giving? How much should we end up giving and still being in a place to provide? All of that is such a challenge, and obviously be in a place to realize that though Solomon was great, there was one even greater than he. You see, Solomon was just a picture and a type of ultimately Christ himself that came to this earth. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 42, he used Solomon as an illustration. When that Queen of Sheba, as he says, the queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. And here is Christ very simply making the statement to sit at his table with his wealth and words is much more satisfying than even the Queen of Sheba, the wealthiest woman, coming to hear the wealthiest man in the world. And he was saying to these religious people, she went over 1,200 miles to get there to hear Solomon. And Christ is saying, listen, I've come here to your door, Pharisees, to your door, religious people, and letting you know, listen, it wasn't a statement of pride. It was a statement of fact that there's one greater than Solomon, because in Christ are all the riches of Christ Jesus. He has all the wisdom, because that aching, driving hunger for things will never be satisfied by things. It'll only be alleviated when you realize it is who Christ is. This is who he wants to be in your life. You see, John Wesley, towards the end of his life, had visited an expensive and expansive estate, and he toured it all day long, and he was still unable to visit the whole estate. That night at a huge banquet, he was asked what he thought of it all, and he said, well, John Wesley said, you know, sir, in all humility, he said, I think you're going to have a hard time leaving all this. He said, that's what I think. He said, I think you're going to have a hard time leaving this. You see, listen, as a child of God, you're just a pilgrim. You're just passing through. Hey, you have responsibilities to take care of family for sure. Randy Alcorn, in his book talking about that, he said, listen, many of us are never going to be able to give a big inheritance to our family, but we certainly can give a heritage. And that's what God really wants us to give. And if you've got to make a choice, hang on to this one. Some of us, you're not going to be able to give your family hundreds of millions of dollars. And in Randy Alcorn's view, that might be the worst thing that could happen to a young person, getting too much when you die. But you know what we can all work at? A heritage. God, this is who I am. I've given him a good name. A good name is rather be chosen than great riches.
Thank you for listening in to today's message with Pastor Marty Heron on Heart of Harvest. This daily program is brought to you by Harvest Ministries, located on the island of Guam. If you'd like more information or a copy of today's message, you can always write to Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189. Barragata, Guam 96921, or call area code 671-477-6341. That number once again, 671-477-6341. You can always visit our website at hbcguam.net, where you'll find a podcast of today's program. That's hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening in, and be sure to join us at this same time tomorrow for the next edition of Heart of Harvest.